Chapter 3. The house was set on a hill above Strickland, close enough to walk into town on a nice day, and elevated enough to see it from their porch. They'd purchased a half-acre lot and waited impatiently while the house was constructed over the course of 6 months, timed by the universe to be completed 1 month before Laurel gave birth. Once they could move in, the old house was sold, and everything proceeded at a dizzying pace. It had suited Laurel, given her fretting over the pregnancy. Her worry was unnecessary. All had gone well, and she'd taken a liking to the doctor she'd been referred to by their neighbor Eileen. Noah Bride had been Strickland's only local physician for many years, and he'd birthed most of the people in the town under 40, just as he would birth their daughter, Isabel Louise Calloway. Isabel for Laurel's maternal aunt, who died when Laurel was just 10, and Louise for Jeremy's maternal grandmother. The construction had been as smooth as it had been quick. By the fall of the previous year, they were able to get settled in just as the baby arrived. The delivery had been at the hospital in Flemington, but Laurel had only been required to spend one night there before bringing Isabel home to her spacious nursery. Everything, in fact, was spacious in their house, and Laurel sometimes felt a sort of success guilt. They had struggled early on, but now they were upper middle class at least, and she'd often thought of their friends who were still writing the unsold great American novel or trudging to the next audition that would not provide a callback. They were all in their 30s, and very few of them had gone on to fulfill their dreams. Most, like Jeremy, had traded fantasies of fame and fortune for secure jobs that offered a paycheck and benefits. That, too, made her feel guilty. She was the one who'd had the success. She was the one writing novels and taking calls from Hollywood agents. But Jeremy seemed fine with it. Money and the pleasures it brings goes a long way toward easing a bruised ego. He'd come to the decision on his own to stop acting. He'd been ready for the security and the opportunity of a job with Philly Star Properties rising in its ranks. He seemed happy. Laurel's only worry was that it was something he seemed and not something he was. Monday was her regular shopping day. She would settle Isabel into a child seat in the back of the car, so heavily protected it made the baby look as if she were encased in armor. Then she would drive to Flemington, where the largest grocery store in the area was located. She'd spend an hour strolling the aisles with Isabel strapped to her chest, and then, on the way home, she would stop at Luther's General Store in town. She seldom needed anything from Luther's, but they had made friends in Strickland, and many of them frequented the store as much to socialize with each other as to buy anything. "Good morning, Isabel," Luther said to the baby when Laurel entered through the old front door, setting a bell above it jangling. Luther Maddox was, like most residents of Strickland, old. It was something Laurel had noticed early in their life there, and that Jeremy had dismissed as the simple migration of young people to cities and adventures away from such an idyllic setting. "It's the country," he would say. "Go 5 minutes outside of town and it's all dear. What self-respecting 20-year-old wouldn't want to get away?" It still bothered her, or was at least noticeable, just like it had been noticeable that no one had a dog. A dog can smell the devil. There it was again, that troublesome thought. She pushed it aside. "Good morning to you, too," Laurel said. Luther shifted his gaze from Isabel to her mother. It wasn't the first time he'd reacted to them coming in as if only Isabel had arrived. Many of the people she encountered there were more attentive of her child than of her. She accepted it as human nature. The baby is the future. The baby gets fawned over. "I've got a new coffee for you to try," Luther said. "Excellent," replied Laurel. One of the few things she actually bought at the store was coffee beans. She'd had to give it up when she was pregnant, switching to several herbal teas Eileen had introduced her to. But once Isabel was born, she'd immediately started drinking coffee again. It was part of her writing ritual to have a cup when she first got up, then a second while she wrote. Luther had gifted her his own special blend, and she'd been devoted to it ever since. It was dark and rich, her preferred strength, and it had an unusual taste to it, like it had been flavored with roots of some kind. Laurel had asked Luther once what was in it, and he just smiled. That's why they call it a secret recipe. Like Luther, and probably like Strickland itself, it was something you couldn't find anywhere else. Are these from your home too? Laurel asked. Luther roasted his own beans with a machine in his garage, something Laurel found charming. He told her he had learned it from his mother, who had not had the money or patience to spend on what she'd considered a frivolity. Never pay someone to do what you can do for yourself, she told him. Or so he said. Of course, Mrs. Calloway. He always called her that, despite having been told a dozen times to call her Laurel. How's the mister? He asked, turning around to a shelf behind him. He'd been standing at his usual spot between the cash register and the back wall. Jeremy is doing well, she replied. He's working too many hours, but he'll dial it back. Mm-hmm. She didn't like the sound of his response. It was as if he didn't believe Jeremy would ever work fewer hours. He has to, she said a little curtly. For Isabel, I won't have a daughter growing up without her father. Absolutely not, Luther said, turning back to her with a pound bag of coffee beans. What else did you need today? It was when she took a moment to think if she needed anything else. She seldom did, stopping more as a neighborly act than out of any real need, that she realized there was no one else in the store. Normally, there would be several people at least, and often a small group of men she privately called geezers sitting at one of the two tables Luther had at the front of the store. The same four who seemed to always be there jawing about the state of the world or the county's need for road repair. Where is everyone? Laurel asked, looking around. Luther chuckled. It's a small place, Mrs. Calloway. Everyone is never more than half a dozen. And where might they be? His smile flattened slightly. Laurel had the impression that he didn't much like being asked the whereabouts of his usual customers. You'd have to ask them, he said. A sound caught Laurel's attention. But what was it? She glanced through the front window, listening to see if it had come from outside. There it was again, a thump of some kind. And voices. Did you hear that? She asked Luther. He rang up her purchase and put the beans in a bag. Always some kind of noises, he said. Rivers just up the road, cars passing, could be anything. She stood still, listening. It came again, the sound of movement and talking. She turned toward the back of the store, peering down an aisle that ran along a wall. Halfway along it was a door. She'd never paid any attention to it before. Where does that go? She asked, nodding at the door. Luther waited a moment before answering. To the basement. Is someone down there? Why would there be anyone in my basement? He said, in a tone that told her he did not want to have this conversation. Are you all right, Mrs. Calloway? I know you've had spells in the past. She pivoted sharply back to him. It was true she'd had some difficulties, some stresses that came with leaving New York for a life in rural New Jersey. And then Jeremy getting a job in Philly, the pregnancy, the new home. There had been a few times when she'd been overwhelmed, but Eileen had referred her to a therapist in Lambertville, where her Uncle Martin and his husband Frank lived. She'd seen the woman, with the unusual name of Poppy Durant, a half dozen times, and had reached out to her when needed, but it was an extremely private matter. Who told you that? Laurel asked. About the spells? As you call them? Luther blushed and looked down at his hands on the counter, clearly embarrassed. I'm so sorry, Mrs. Calloway. I spoke out of school. Eileen had mentioned it to me in case I had any suggestions. Suggestions for what? Remedies. He'd said it as if it were obvious. Eileen had offered her teas. Luther sold her his own coffee. What remedies was he talking about? We're old folk. Luther said quietly. My mama taught me how to make coffee beans. My daddy taught me how to depend on myself. Old Eileen and Pete are the same. She just told me in case I had any recommendations for natural ways to help with life's challenges. It sounded to Laurel as if he did not know about the therapist. She hoped Eileen had not taken the liberty of telling Luther anything else that was none of his business. She noticed that whatever sound she'd heard did not come again. They heard you. They stopped talking. She wondered if it was time to call Poppy again. She was hearing voices talk to her about dogs that didn't exist and people hiding in a basement. I've got to get Isabel fed, Laurel said, which meant breastfeeding and the privacy it required. The people of Strickland were definitely not used to a woman breastfeeding in public, and she was not going to acquaint them with it. You have a good day, Mrs. Calloway, and I do apologize for breaking any confidences. She wondered what other confidences he knew to break, but she let it go. You do the same, Luther, she said. Then she took the paper bag with her purchase and left the store.